It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char-broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grillin' Guys.
Hey, it's the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. It's up for another version of creating a little grill envy in your backyard. I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, the grill, man. The grill's cooking every day at my house right now.
Yeah?
Yeah. I've got more protein in the refrigerator to throw on the grill than...
Well, you got groups of people coming over?
Yeah, all the time. Like your place.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, but welcome. Thanks, Jop. Thanks for tuning in. I had a great time last weekend. I was up north Saturday afternoon, and I heard the show come on at a place I'm in, and I'm like, the guys, I was in my hometown.
Oh, okay.
And of Reed City, and I'm getting a part. I bought that motorhome, and I'm getting a part for it because I wanted to get the generator running right. And this nice kid's helping me, and I heard the Grillin' Guys rap come on.
Oh.
And I'm like, hey, that's me. He goes, what do you mean? I said, that's me doing that rap. And he's like, you're one of those guys?
He didn't ask you to do it, did he?
It's just weird being somewhere and hearing the thing.
Right, your own voice on the radio when you're not on.
Yeah, I heard it come on once going through Chicago, and I'm like, wow, that's cool.
Yeah, funny.
But, I picked up the motorhome, and it's got this auto-level system on it. It's called Bigfoot. It's made in White Pigeon, Michigan.
Okay.
Bigfoot is.
You figured that out, huh?
Well, I got the manual out, and I called their tech line because one of them was locked down.
Oh, okay.
And you can't drive very well that way.
Right, yeah. Yeah, hit a bump, you... Yeah.
The tires aren't touching the ground.
Right.
It'll literally lift the whole thing up. So they had this great tech service. A shout-out to Bigfoot. Great company. This guy was just a wealth of knowledge and very helpful. Didn't give me the bums rush. Spoke English.
Yeah,
everything.
Yeah,
I wasn't in, the Philippines or something. And he walked me through everything I needed to do to release it. Of course, it's got a bad motor and pump in the. Each one has its own hydraulic pump. And so, long and the short of it is, he told me to disconnect two of the hydraulic lines and just push the piston up. And of course, get yourself totally doused with hydraulic fluid.
Right, yeah.
But then I put the lines back on, it stayed in place, and I'm rolling down the road. So
right.
That was very cool. Had some minor stuff to fix on it, but that's why it was a deal.
Right, exactly.
That's why I own it.
And it'll be a rolling deer camp here in about another month, right?
And I was so close to deer camp. Friday, I was on David Webb's show the Friday before that.
Yep.
And so David's threatened to come up to deer camp a bunch of times, and he never has. But I was at Chase Creek Smokehouse, which is 6 miles from Whipple Lake, where we hunt.
Right.
And I did not take the opportunity, even though I had the gate key with me, I did not take the opportunity to go out to deer camp to try and get it down the lane.
It should go. That lane's pretty wide. I mean, I don't know what you're going to do. You might have to back it back out of there.
Turning it.
Right, exactly.
You have to bring the chainsaw.
Right, yeah. There's no turnaround. What you said, it's like 32 feet long or something?
Yeah
right. That's a big swath that you need to turn that thing around.
It is. Yeah. I'm learning it, yeah.
Right, yep.
And make sure you put the rollout in before you go.
Oh, yeah. You mean the slide outsides?
Yeah.
A little drafty?
Slide out. Yeah. So it's supposed to be for deer camp. So I bring it home. I'm washing it, last week, and got the power washer out, our power washer, and I got my big bucket of this great cleaner and my big long brush, and it's a lot to wash.
Well, man, there's a lot of surface area there, brother.
Well, and it's so tall. It's like 13, 14 feet tall. So,
right.
So I'm scrubbing away, power washing, scrubbing. Time I get done, it's like, wow, that looks really good.
Yeah, cool.
And Maureen comes out and looks at it. I vacuumed it all out and everything, and carpet's shot.
Well,
and
it's easy to replace.
She said, if you put some wood grain floors in here, it'd look pretty nice. I'm like, yeah, I think I'll probably do that after deer camp.
Right, yeah. Well, they're easy to clean, though. That like some vinyl or something? Yeah, right.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Just some basic roll-on vinyl. Not even the plank stuff, just that looks like planks.
Right.
Fake and bake.
Right. But, you know, you're going to want it clean if you're going to be in there with dirty boots and stuff. It could be raining, whatever. You know, you can track some stuff in. You want it easy to clean. It would be much better than carpet.
Right.
I think.
That's what
I think. You dump something when you're cooking or whatever. You know? I mean.
So I'm like totally into this whole mode of RV.
So this is the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're not talking about motorhomes, but we kind of are today because now Bob's got a new mobile hunting shack, and I might even go hunting with you now, Bob.
Hey,
yeah, right.
Oh,
yeah.
Look at that.
The last time I went, I slept in Big Brown, and that's the back of my excursion on an air mattress.
From a few places up there, so I don't know if I can even take you back.
Right. Yeah. Oh, they like our money. It's all good.
Funny thing, I was at Chase Creek Smokehouse again. I stayed in the motorhome 3 nights there.
Oh, okay.
So while I'm there, you wouldn't remember this, but...
Why wouldn't I remember?
The fellow we were talking to from the Hawkins Bar was there.
Okay.
And he goes, I know you. You don't remember, do you? I go, yeah, where'd we meet? Here? He goes, yeah, here. And then at the Hawkins Bar.
Right.
And I go, oh, that's right. And he goes, yeah, your buddy was sleeping.
Right, yeah. I might have been overserved just a little bit at deer camp. You know, that's my shutoff switch, baby. You know, you get to capacity, and then I just shut her down.
I saw you that way at your honeymoon, so I don't know.
I never had a honeymoon. Come on now.
I mean, at your wedding reception.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yep, I hit capacity. Yeah. I shut her down.
So I don't post pictures of Jop when he does that, but I did it once, and he posted my picture on Facebook. So I'm just letting you know I'm a better man than you.
Okay, but that you still have the picture. You've just not posted it yet.
No,
so
I have some other pictures I can extort you with.
Right, yeah. Thank you. Thank you very little. Yeah. Well, okay, this last weekend was the Labor Day weekend, and the grill never stopped, it seemed. I mean, from Friday afternoon through Monday evening, I was grilling something for somebody all stinking weekend. And it was okay. I mean, I enjoyed it. Ate a lot of steaks, ate a little bit of chicken, made some badass jalapeno poppers.
Nice.
I went to Sobe Meats, and he's got a creamy crab dip.
Oh, yeah. You love that stuff.
And I put that inside that and wrapped those in bacon,
you know,
put them on the smoker. Oh, man, that was good.
Sobe's has like probably 8 to 10 of those different little dips that would work great for a jalapeno popper.
Right, exactly.
About every one of them, I think.
Well, you know, another good one is he's got a beef jerky dip where he grinds up beef jerky with cream cheese.
Yeah.
You put that inside of a jalapeno popper, wrap it in a bacon. Anything's wrapped in bacon, it's going to be good, right? But, those cream cheese just kind of helps you take a little bit of the heat out of there.
As I look at the show plan, I see a lot of bacon on it. So I guess we're in the right theme here.
Right.
My bride was camping for 7 days nonstop in the Manistee National Forest.
Okay. Without you?
With her, my sister-in-law, and then a group of her girlfriends came up the Thursday after. So she was like total 8 days in a tent.
Ooh.
So the motorhome's looking real good to her.
Yeah, I bet it is. Your timing is impeccable. Hey, honey, I got a new motorhome.
Yeah.
We can.
But they took Jennifer's Explorer up there, and it broke down. They had to drive it up to Manistee, and they got a loaner of a little Ford Fiesta. So Sunday, I have to run up to Manistee with my Jeep, because I got the Jeep and the motorhome now, both together in Chase.
Right.
And I had to pack up all their stuff, because they got this little Ford Fiesta.
So you were the hero. Why didn't you just roll the motorhome over there?
I brought him back. Again, those trails and stuff, I wasn't too sure.
Right.
Don't want to bang it up on the first trip.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
It's my baby.
Right.
But while I was staying there, so I stayed like 3 days, I brought my little hibachi up.
Yep.
And I grilled right out. Pat and Linda live right behind the place.
Party of one.
I grilled out by myself there. Yep. I went to Sobe's, got some kielbasa and breakfast sausage, and I'm just working every day. I was filthy.
Right.
No shower.
Right.
So.
Well, it will have. That's just something you got to work on.
I didn't have it hooked up. I had no power or water, but I did have an open bar on the outside of the Chase Creek Smokehouse. So that's all the plugs you're getting, Pat.
All right, man. But that's good. Well, coming up next, bacon-wrapped lollipops. Ooh, this is a new one for me. You're going to have a taste of this. Stick with us. We'll be back. Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance. While you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
I am a guy, and I like fire.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. If you're just tuning in, you just missed a BS session in that first segment, but we'll get down to it as we get going here. I'm Jop, and he is Barbecue Bob, so what's cooking, man?
It's the good ship lollipop.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Bacon-wrapped lollipops. You just forgot about these, but I did these 4 years ago. 5 years ago. It's not something I make much, but something Rob Russell taught me, and they're cool as heck to look at and serve. Okay. Because you basically take the drumette from a chicken wing, which is the part that looks like a chicken
leg
drumstick,
right,
the little drumstick. You take that and you hold on to the skinnier end of it, and you take a knife and you kind of peel it back, and you get that skin and muscle tissue scraped off the skinny part, and you just slide it over the top of it like a turtleneck when you're pulling a sweater over your head, and you leave it stuck over your head.
Okay.
So you just pull it up like that, and then you put some seasoning on
it. So the skin is kind of inside and the meat is outside.
The skin's inside, yeah.
Okay, so you just rolled it on itself.
Yep.
Okay, I get it. Yep.
And so you got this nice little bone, kind of like a tomahawk concept, right.
Yeah.
You know? And then you wrap it and you put a little seasoning on it, and then you wrap it in bacon and you smoke it.
Ooh.
And it is, well, it looks really cool. So presentation wise, you know, when you're bringing it out to all your friends, mm-hmm. they're like, what is that? So that's cool. But the best part's when you bite into it, you're going to need to smoke it for about 2 hours at about 300 degrees, because
okay.
you've got a thick
you're raw
little
chicken,
ball there.
Yeah, raw
thick
chicken.
Little ball there, and you want that bacon to crisp up. Or you can smoke it for an hour and then roll it on the grill for a while. But if you just smoke it, it looks dandy. And then you can even get a little you can make up whatever kind of sauce profile you want to go, and you can kind of put them in a platter and then just drizzle some cool sauce like a raspberry pepper or something like that. And this, I'm getting really hungry
right now.
It sounds
yeah.
so good.
Cool.
I'd do something like that with it. But like I said, it's not an amazing piece to eat. It tastes really good because it's got bacon on it.
Right.
And it's a chicken wing.
Right.
So it's really nice. The best part is
does the skin
watching people's eyes pop.
Does the skin still stay rubbery a little bit? Under there, or
you know, if you're leaving it in the smoker for a couple hours, it reduces nicely,
okay.
and the bacon ends up sort of maybe frying it a little bit.
Well, there are 300 degree smokers up there too, so
yeah,
it'll cook. Yeah,
it is. You're not going to be real smoky. You can do it in the oven too. You can just bake them.
Sure.
And if you're doing it in the oven, you could go up to 400 on convection when you're done to finish them off if you want to crisp up that bacon.
Yeah.
But Yeah, it's just a cool dish. It's
again,
sometimes, and I know you're like this a lot, you love walking out with a platter and watching everybody ooh and ah.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, I've said this forever. You eat with your eyes first, your nose second, and your taste buds third. And if it doesn't look good and smell good, you really might not want to eat it. You know, and so you got to put a little wow on the platter, man. Yeah. I mean, it's cool.
Plus, it's fun. If you're a grilling guy, and you all who listen to this show, you're all grilling guys and gals. The only reason you listen to us idiots is because you are obsessed like we are.
Right.
And when you are, you get better and better and better. And Trevor's over here, our producer Trevor. I can see him wide-eyed right now. He's fixing to buy a grill.
Right.
That's what he said last week.
And he wants to make some chicken lollipops.
Be on the good ship.
Right. The good ship with a
yes.
P. Right.
Yeah.
Eat the good ship.
Yeah, so.
Right. But anyway, well, that's cool. So that's kind of fun. You know, I just I love making appetizers. That's one of my favorite things to do. I made some bacon-wrapped shrimp. Again, you put bacon on anything, it's going to be good. And I put a Hawaiian marinade on it this time. You know, just one of those Lowry's out
when
of the bottle.
When it was about done?
Yeah, right. Basted
so
it with it.
So you basted it.
Yeah, and it just gave it a really nice little fruity profile.
I like that Hawaiian one.
Right.
The Lowry's. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's kind of a pineapple base kind of thing.
You know, I'm kind of over having to make everything from scratch.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's so many good, you know, people have always said that to us. It's like, well, why don't you come out with your own sauces
you
and your seasonings?
Own
yeah, right. Well, there's so many good ones out there.
There's a company called McCormick's, you know, and they set up spice mills all around the world about 200 years ago, and they know a lot more about spices than I do.
Yeah,
so when people eat that Montreal steak seasoning and go, holy cow, that's great. Yeah, of course it is. Their lab's the size of General Motors.
Right, yeah.
So,
and they've been tweaking it for 150 years, right?
Yeah.
To get it where it is today.
Yeah, but what wisdom they had to go to India and Thailand and all those places where these great things, the curries and stuff we come up with and all the pepper varietals. Of course, the peppers all came from South America. That's how Asia got the peppers.
Wow, there's a geography lesson for you right there, man.
So I wanted to talk about getting, because cooking with this hibachi got me remembering some little tiny grill things I've had to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I told this story to you years ago, but I guess it was a good lesson for me. And we were in Pensacola camping with this same group my wife was with. And, you know, we're in tents. We're on the beach. We're at Fort McHenry.
Okay.
It's right out on the sandbar of Pensacola. Really cool campground, palm trees and sandy beach, just a really neat place to camp. And Mark that comes up to me and he goes, hey, Bob, he looks like the professor from Gilligan's Island. He teaches at Kendall.
Okay.
And he goes, hey, Bob, we got a little, you got to help me figure this out. Barbie brought some ribs. And I'm like, oh, ribs.
Right.
I don't first have my thought, smoker.
First thought goes to smoker, exactly. Yeah, right.
And I go, what do you bring to cook them on? Because I'm seeing a fire pit, you know, in the sand or something. And he goes, so I brought my little – so what – I looked in his trunk, and he had a little Smoky Joe, like the one I gave you.
Uh-huh.
Didn't I give you – no, I gave
you
to Scott. Yeah. Anyway, the little
You gave it to
Weber,
your better friend than me.
Weber I just gave you a Tech infrared.
Right.
But
I think I traded something for that.
No. Don't distort history.
No, wasn't there something in there?
Anyway.
Yeah. Right.
So he shows me this Weber Smoky Joe. It's a little tiny kettle.
Yeah.
Like, and there's eight of us. You want to do ribs for eight adults on a little, and now the pressure's on because he's looking at me like, what are we going to do?
Right.
Which translates to Bob.
Right.
This is on you.
Right. Make us dinner.
Just like you do every time you go somewhere and they go, hey, you know, I need a little help. Oh, you know, you kind of start hyperventilating a little bit. And it's like, ah, I didn't know I was performing here.
Right.
Yeah, well, so now it has to be good because I'm not going to fail.
Right.
So I get this little Smoky Joe and I line it with tin foil.
Okay.
And a lot of it. I let it come over the sides and I got a nice fire going. He just had briquettes. Got a nice fire going with briquettes.
It's okay. You can burn dirt if it gets hot enough.
Yeah. And got a nice bed of coals. And then I took the tin foil on one side and kind of lifted it up so that it brought all the charcoal to one side.
Right.
And then I rolled that down and made like a barrier. So like your green egg has that plate. So I made one of those. And then I took all those ribs.
And it was lit when you did this?
Yeah, I had my mitts.
Oh, I was going to say, that's hot, man.
I always camp with mitts because you're always grabbing hot coals. Or you're dropping your cigar. Anyway, yeah. So...
With mittens on, I'd drop my cigar.
So yeah. With... I took some skewers, and there were like three ribs to a section, and skewered them together, and I literally made like a... where you make a house of cards.
Yeah.
You just stacked them up on that side, and threw some sandalwood, or some wood from the beach on there, shut the lid. They were fantastic.
A little fishy taste, did they?
No, they were great. You can do it with any grill you got.
Yeah, all right. I'll do it with any gal I got. Or grill, you said, not girl. I get it. Okay. Coming up next, roasting a chicken over the open fire. It can be done, but it takes a little technique. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? I mean the kind that makes you remember walks with your grandfather. Come on over to Schmoe's Brewing Company in Grand Rapids or Petoskey. And we have some handcrafted root beer, probably the best in the state of Michigan. That's 2600 Patterson in Grand Rapids or 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey. You know you're dying for a good root beer float.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You've got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat, and no tofu. With me and Chop, it never gets dull. A grill's so big, it's like a ship's hull. Grillin' Guys, I'll tell no lies. Do some great things to chicken thighs. When we're at the grill, smoking up a rack, a little taste is just like crack. We're backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody grills a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guys rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. So check us out and have no doubt, the Grilling Guys will make the crowd shout. Stick around and put down the rake, fire up the grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows, you gotta listen to the Grilling Guys show. That's it.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We are in beautiful downtown Grand Rapids. Cooled off this week, Bob. I got this little feel of fall coming our way, man. And I've got later today, I'm headed to Traverse City, and then we're going on up to Mackinac Island. I've got family in from Texas, my brother and his bride. And then my other brother that lives here, no, he's not Daryl, but my other brother that lives here, the six of us, Lisa and I and my sister-in-laws, are going to Mackinac for a couple days. The one from Texas has never seen the Mackinac Bridge, nor has she seen the island. So we're going to take them up there and have a little bit of fun today, nice. And tomorrow, and Monday and Tuesday. So we're going to take a little sabbatical headed north. But right now, we're going to talk a little bit of chicken, right?
Right.
Okay. So can you really roast a chicken over an open fire? I mean, that's not in your grill. Are you talking a campfire or are you talking in your grill?
I'm talking about getting a battery-operated spit.
Oh, yeah.
And
rotisserie.
Yes. And the cool thing is when you're camping, and this is a camping deer camp, just in the woods, like where my wife just was. I missed this trip this year. But the one guy that shows up there every year, I won't name him, but he's famous for his chicken on a spit.
Okay.
Being done at about 10 o'clock at night.
Hope you weren't hungry at dinner time.
He fiddles around so much getting ready and a few beverages maybe get in his way. But it's really good when he is done with it. So I'll give you John's technique. I don't have a battery-operated spit. I wouldn't mind getting one to use for deer camp, if nothing else, because it's just an easy way to do your food. And Yardbird's always good, or a loin right. muscle, or right. fresh backstrap, something like that. So the concept is basically you've got this nice fire burning, and you want to cook some proteins on it. But you don't really want to put it right over the fire because, number one, it's raw chicken. Mm-hmm. It's going to take a long time. And number two, you want to kick back in your bag chair and have a couple pops.
Right.
You know, you don't want to stress out.
Yeah, you don't need to stress when you grill.
Right.
It should be casual.
And, like, if you're an afternoon hunter, you could put the thing on before you head in the tree, and by the time you get back, you'd have a – she'd be done.
Right.
But the concept is basically kind of like a lot of grills have this infrared burner on the back.
Right.
You are burning – a fire, and you're putting your rotisserie and spit next to the fire, so the radiant heat sideways is what's cooking your protein.
Right.
And it just keeps turning. I mean, it's really hard to ruin a piece of meat this way because
right.
the juices just keep spinning and they don't all drip off.
Right.
Some reduction happens, but it's
which is another reason to put it beside the fire and not over, because
right.
any grease that renders out of a piece of protein is going to flare up.
Right.
And then, you know, you want it to, again, you want it to look good when you're done. And if it's got charred black on it where the flames licked it too much because it's dripping grease and it's flaring up, then it's not going to look good and it's
right.
probably not going to taste good because things get bitter when they get burnt.
And if you're just in the dirt in the woods,
right.
that grease can go in the dirt.
Yeah.
If you're somewhere else, you can get some bread pans and put a bread pan under each chicken.
Yeah.
Like if it's a big enough spit.
Right.
So that's just a wonderful way to cook any kind of a protein while you're camping or even in your backyard. You don't even have to go camping to do that.
Because, right.
I mean, I think backyard fires are huge.
Sure.
And they've gotten bigger with the advent of these fire pits.
Yeah.
And there's no reason if you have one of these fancy metal fire pits that you couldn't stick those prongs in your lawn
over top
and
of it,
do
right,
your chicken right there.
It,
there's where you're going to want your bread pans, so you don't mess up your pavers.
Yeah, and your dog's not digging a hole in the yard trying
right.
to get all the drippings, right?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. But those are, it's an enjoyable way to cook because you're a spectator. At that point, you get it seasoned.
Yes.
You get it. Now, what I would tell you with the rotisserie, we have a grill, a charcoal grill, Bob and I do, that is nothing but a rotisserie. It's designed for it. It's on wheels. It's a 2-foot by 4-foot stainless steel box with a coal bed in it that you can elevate to get it closer or farther away from the meat. But we only use it for that. And I bought that. It's like a 7/8-inch hexagon rod. It'll hold 125 pounds.
Yep.
And it's a big motor. Electric motor on there, so you can put a lot of meat on there if you really want to. But what I would tell you is, big or small, try to balance it out, because if you don't get it centered on there, the meat will start to lope, right? It'll go really slow over one side, and then when the heavy part gets on top, it'll flop over, and then it doesn't get cooked consistently.
Well, there's an offset weight you can set on that as well.
Well, I've got one on the end so it doesn't flex. You know, the bar doesn't – that 7/8 never flexes because it's so big.
But that's also adjustable. You're supposed to be able to turn that, look at your protein, and put that weight opposite of your heavy side. So that actually can counterbalance that flop too.
Right.
It's dual purpose.
So that's actually on the rod. The weight is on
yes.
the rod. See, because I'd had it hanging out on the end that wasn't anywhere near the fire to counterbalance a flex.
That's where it has to be. But then you have to spin it clockwise or counterclockwise so that it's offsetting that weight of the bird.
Yep. I don't think I've seen one of those, but that's cool. I get it.
What you have.
Well, it just sits out by the handle.
Right.
But the spindle spins in it. It just hangs there. And the spindle is spinning inside.
There's supposed to be a set screw in it.
I don't know. We'll look.
Okay.
Look and see because I've never used it that way, but
so
anyway,
then the next
work.
Thing you want to do is to look at the rub, you know, like a profile you want to put on it. Now, I think the best chicken I ever had was in Fargo, and it's a barbecue guy and a brewer we had on the show 4 or 5 years ago when I was out there working in the hot tub industry. And that guy, when you walked in, beautiful restaurant. Yeah, when you walked in the restaurant, you came up to the check-in desk, maitre d' station, and there's this big, giant rotisserie with racks of chicken and flame going on behind it.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't smoked at all. It was just rotisseried, roasted.
Like a big commercial roaster.
Yeah.
You see them in some of the stores that sell those rotisserie chicken for $5
a piece. This was a showpiece. This was the kind you'd want.
Right.
You know, because it has flames.
Right,
it
yeah.
looked really cool. But he, whatever he did for a profile, my point is, it kind of reminded me of that California rub we got from that guy out in Idaho. He had the Santa Barbara rub. It had like, I don't know, just a beautiful profile with a lot of aromatics in it. Not traditional at all. I think very often we get stuck with spices and rubs that are kind of based out of good old boy barbecue stuff.
Right.
A
lots
lot
of paprika,
other.
Some sugar,
yep.
garlic,
yeah.
salt.
This
you know.
Is nothing like that. This
right.
is more along the lines of the chimichurri or something like that, you know, where it's totally takes you in a total different direction.
Yeah.
But so you got to kind of watch your rub profiles when you're doing the rotisserie.
The other thing with the rotisserie is it's great for basting. At the end, if you want to, for the last half hour. I'm not a big sauce guy. I mean, I don't like barbecue sauce on much of my food. I like a drier profile.
But if you want to finish it with a little sauce.
Right, right. Finish it with a little sauce or a little barbecue sauce, thin layer,
right?
And let it get tacky. Maybe put another layer on, let that get tacky, and then I'm done. But anyway, yeah, it's personal preference. Some people just like the sauce better than the protein. I'm the other way around.
I never turn down sauce.
Anyway, coming up next, we've got an empty segment, so we're going to fill you up. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. And we are in the studio today, and we've just been talking a little bit about how the weather's changed here during the break. And I mean, it made me think of, I sometimes do these things around holidays, but I had occasion to do them recently, and I wanted to just talk about it again, being that we're wrapping everything with bacon during this show. If you've ever had a fig or a date, and it's usually the dates that I use rather than figs, because the date has a pit in it, right? And you buy pitted dates, which are a dried fruit.
Yep.
Right?
And you get them right in the produce department of most supermarkets.
That's right. And so if they're pitted, you can buy them with or without pits, but I buy them without because it creates a little cavity inside the fruit, right? And you grab the end, you put it, pinch it together, and the cavity opens. And now is
like
where the
coin,
fun starts.
It's like a coin purse.
Yeah, exactly. Now is where the fun starts. Because if there's a cavity there, I'm going to put something in it, right? I've used blue cheese. I've used feta cheese. You can use cream cheese, whatever. But put it in there, close it back up, wrap it with a piece of bacon, and I stick that with a toothpick. So for two reasons. One, it holds the bacon. But secondly, it gives you something to pick it up with when you're ready to eat it. And now I'll do those on the smoker. I'll do them on the grill. I prefer them on the smoker just because I don't like grilling bacon. To me, grilling bacon creates fires unless I'm on the tech. Not everybody has a tech, which is an infrared grill that has no flame. We cook with radiant heat. It's an amazing machine. Bob hooked me up with it when he was selling them many years ago. And I tell you what, it's my favorite gas grill ever. And I
I'd like it back.
Right. tough, buddy. Yeah, finders keepers. But anyway, that's just another tasty little tidbit. Easy to do. Make them ahead. Put them in a pan and bring them out 2 days later. They're still going to be good as long as you kept them cold.
And if you do them on the smoker, what you might want to do is finish them off on the grill.
Sure.
Yeah. So you can crisp up the bacon.
Right. Yep.
You could literally do them in your oven too. If it's a rainy day, like it's rainy all this week, you could do them in your oven if you had
right.
to.
Yep.
If you're a wussy.
Right. So, but anyway, so that's just another little tasty tidbit. So
you say that better than network.
Yeah, tasty tidbit. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Hey, if you just tuned in, you're listening to The Grilling Guys and The Grilling Guys Talk Network. You can go to our website. It is The Grilling Guys. And, of course, we're on Facebook and Twitter. Twitter, my handle is Grilling Guy. And soon to be on Parler because I'm really sick of Facebook and their
okay.
political crap.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on. You're yep. right, man. So, Trev, man, our new producer, he's been with us now a couple months,
yeah.
and we're getting our he's listening to these guys talk about grilling. And during the break, we said, "Hey, man, do you grill?" And he said, "Well, not a lot." And so we're going to explore that a little bit, all right? And
yeah.
see what's going on. But so anyway, welcome to the show.
Thank you guys.
You've been so quiet and just sitting over there and putting up with us and editing us to make us sound as yeah. good as we possibly could.
Even if he wanted to talk, we don't leave a lot of room.
Yeah. I'll stop now.
Yeah, it's just okay. me lightly chuckling in the background.
Right, yeah.
So you live in a house with some roommates and your college-age kid.
Yeah, I moved to GR about 3 years ago, and my roommates, they tend to be the chefs of the house, where I feel like I only grill out about twice, three times a summer, and it's usually the big holidays.
Sure.
It's Memorial Day, 4th of July, and then...
And you're not even at home, you're somewhere else, like in a park. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, usually 4th of July, we always grill.
Okay.
So it's always hamburgers, hot dogs. If someone's making a kebab, they're bringing it themselves.
Okay. All right. All right. Now, charcoal?
We'll fix that.
Yeah. Right. Charcoal or gas?
Charcoal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
And he said, when we were on the break, we asked, why don't you grill more? And he goes, laziness.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's like, it's not any harder to grill than it is to fry. Oh, you've got to light the charcoal. So my point to you was you just have to flip a paradigm in your mind.
Okay.
You've got this paradigm that I'm going to walk up to something and cook.
Yeah.
So what you have to change that story and say, okay, I want to cook in an hour or half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go out there, throw some charcoal on, put a lighter cube in there, light it, and walk away for a half hour. Because then I'll have 800-degree heat when I go back.
Yeah.
That's the only little change you have to make. And it has nothing to do with laziness. It's just a paradigm.
Yeah. Well, I feel like I'm so used to just throwing something on the stove real quick
right.
and making it so fast. And that's why when it's like, all right, you guys be ready in an hour and a half. We're going to have lunch.
Right, yeah.
You just have to get ahead of the ball game a little bit.
Yeah, I feel like
say, okay.
I probably really lack in prep work.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That's an honest response.
Yeah, yeah.
So you don't make kebabs, but you'd like to.
I mean, it's definitely something that I've loved
eating. You're with a website that has a wonderful kebab recipe or 10.
Right.
So, yeah, we can help you with that.
So let's talk about that.
Okay.
Because there's a couple things with kebabs that mm-hmm. if you've not made them and you like to eat them, but you've not made them.
Yeah, I've never made them.
Okay. So here's the thing. Is that you're going to put vegetables and some sort of protein, whether it's beef
mm-hmm.
or chicken are very popular, either one of those, right? So you need to cut the protein the same size, cubes usually, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, time out. Or maybe, depends on how you like your vegetables.
Okay.
Because the meat's going to take longer is where you're headed.
Right.
So think about the only difference is I would say if you want your vegetables not really well cooked but kind of snappy, cut them a little bigger than the meat.
Right.
So your meat's a little – it's a balance.
Okay.
It's like time and temperature.
Yeah, yeah.
It applies to that too. So that's the only thing.
Where I thought you were going is you could put the vegetables on one skewer and the meat on another.
Oh. It just doesn't have the presentation.
Yeah, but it's not as pretty.
Yeah,
it doesn't look as cool.
Yeah.
But to Bob's point, is the proteins is where I was going.
That's the danger part.
Don't put big chunks of chicken and little chunks of chicken on the same skewer.
Okay.
Because the big ones aren't going to be done, and the little ones are going to be burnt by the time the big one's done.
And grandma's going to have the trots.
Right. Yeah. So you don't want to, you know, you don't ever want to serve raw food.
Yeah, no, no.
So people tend to overcook it. That's another problem.
Yep. Yeah.
But that's nothing that a thermometer could.
It's a great point. Consistency and size.
Right. Is where you want to be. Because the vegetables, you're really just warming them up. You don't cook the vegetables. I mean, they get cooked because they're next to chicken that's got to be done.
Yeah.
Right?
So, yeah, and the reason I wanted to stop you, I wasn't really trying to correct you, but I was telling you how I've changed it simply because I don't like the peppers and onions totally like mushy by the time I get to them. So I do my meat a little smaller, and I do the onions especially big because I like using Vidalia's.
Right.
And I don't know, mouse water and again, can't
right.
talk.
Yeah, now, Bob and I, we aren't going to have a football season this year, but Bob and I did a lot of catering at tailgates at college games, right? And when we go there, and I'm where I'm going with this is it's a convenience thing. We made almost everything we made was on a skewer because it's got a handle.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And you're at a tailgate. What do you got? You got a beer in one hand. You got one hand to eat with. So you walk around with a tray. We'd always do this. And pretty much everything that we served.
Except the veggie burgers.
Right. Yeah. Well, that was one client. Yeah. But you can pick it up. Yeah. Right? And you can eat it. And that little chicken thing that he talked about in the first segment, there's the chicken leg is the handle.
Yeah.
Just bite it off. And so anyway, Trev, what we're talking about is a little bit of prep.
Yeah.
Can go a long ways. You can make these kebabs and put them in the fridge overnight.
Yeah.
If you're bored, I'm going to have kebabs tomorrow.
And I would tell
it's
you to
perfectly
do this.
Okay.
I would tell you to do this. Go yard sailing right now.
Yeah.
And look at what people are selling for a nickel. You can get old steel skewers that people say, we never use the darn things. And you can save yourself $20. I literally went across the street to my neighbor's yard sale just to say hi to her, and she had this beautiful spatula for 75 cents. It's like, I'm buying that. And then a couple of big, beautiful, high-end knives for a dollar and a quarter.
Wow.
I'm like, yeah, I have to take those.
Right, yeah.
So don't be above a yard sale, especially if you know the person.
Yeah.
But skewers, use the metal ones.
Yeah.
Because the wooden ones are a pain in the butt.
Okay. Right. They catch on fire.
And then they
fall apart and that kind of stuff.
Get splinters.
But word to the wise, if you're grilling on the first 6-8 inches of that skewer, the part that's closest to you is as hot as the one on the fire because it transfers heat. You'll burn your hands. Okay, be careful.
All right.
I know, because we've all done it.
So don't spin them around with your mouth.
Right, yeah. But anyway, so the kebabs are kind of cool. I mean, that's an easy one to do. So, but anyway, I guess we're going to bring this train to the station. We got a little man law coming up, so you're not going to want to miss that. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance. While you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
Hey guys, Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids, and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Tees, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey, engineering better Michigan beer.
Now you're a man!
And now a little man law that really hits close to the bone. Bitching about the brand of free beverages in your buddy's refrigerator is forbidden.
Mm-hmm.
But gripe at you will if the temperature's not suitable. Gripe at will. Is
what I meant to say. Don't bitch about my beer, but bitch about my warm beer.
I have violated that law.
Right.
because when I first met you, you had nothing but Labatt's in your bar.
I understand. Well, and finished the story.
I'm trying.
Right.
And there was a couple of Oberons way in the back, and I go, you got anything other than the Labatt's? Yeah, I got Labatt's Light. Yeah. I'm looking back there, and I see a couple Oberons. I go, hey, hand me that orange one. And you go, yeah, it's something somebody left here.
Right.
This was before Jopp liked craft beer.
Right, right.
And he got an education.
Right. I cut my teeth at Schmoe's, right, and all the wonderful brews that they put together. And I've been on craft beer ever since. Now I can't stand a regular beer.
Since my wife was gone for a week.
Yeah.
I got to visit Schmoe's.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hope she's not listening.
Yeah. Well, she couldn't tune in back up when she was up north anyway. But
So it's time to prep for that cooler, bad, inclement weather and get your, you know, start thinking in advance of what you're going to do. I was going to put a roof over my back porch this summer, and I didn't get it done. I got a motorhome instead. So I'm thinking of just building a little – you ever see those wishing wells, and they have the little –
yeah.
Gazebo roof on them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking of just doing a little one of those just over my gas grill.
Yeah.
And then putting a lean roof over the charcoal grills behind the garage.
Sure.
Shed roof.
Yep. That'd be cool.
I got to do something.
You know, the thing is, you want to get it out of the weather. And the number one culprit in cold weather grilling is the wind.
Temperature, yeah.
So you got to get out of the wind somewhere. And now would be the time when it's still nice out is build yourself a little wall, just a 4 foot, 5 foot tall wall that's in the prevailing wind and set your grill on the other side. That'll make a huge difference for your winter grilling as things come up. But anyway, you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. If you have it in you, create some grill envy in your neighborhood because it's a bunch of fun when people come over and they eat better food off your grill than they can make on their own.
That's right. And now Trevor's going to create some grill envy in his neighborhood.
Right, yeah.
All see right. ya.